the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Oh, wow. Okay. welcome to the show. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Illinois, Chicago, a great city, a great town, a great place to live. All righty, let me take a break. I will be right back, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, it is cold in Chicago. I mean, it is like, in December we had some, it was, you know, unnaturally cold for December. I mean, we was getting 50s and 60s in and around the holidays, you know, but now that the holidays are over, we are really catching it. It is doo-dah cold. Fingernails and feet and ears and everything is freezing off. I can say people are freezing their asses off, and I'm pretty sure this is not the only town in the United States or anywhere that's freezing. We're freezing our butts off here, but we're managing to stay warm. It is cold, man. It is cold, and I'm hearing that some people have already perished in the cold weather. Yeah. Elderly person, some children in Chicago. Some people are being found frozen to death, sitting on a sidewalk or something. Homeless people, from the reports that I'm getting. I haven't delved into it, but we will look into it. So wherever you are, if you're having this harsh ass winter weather, I haven't heard the meteorologist say anything about the polar vortex. I mean, 2 years ago, the polar vortex, all it meant to me that it was damn cold. That every time I heard him say polar vortex, that meant it was damn cold. That's all I knew. That's all I understood. And that was good enough for me. Okay. But it is bone chilling cold in the city of Chicago. They say it's going to be like this for the next couple of days. It is. And I'm going to say, if you're listening to the show live or the podcasting, downloading, listening to it later, and it's cold where you are, bundle up. Listen to the weather people on your television. When they say bundle up, you bundle up. But you know what? There are some people out here still will not bundle up. Some people think they're so cute, so fine, just so beautiful that they can't cover themselves up, especially their heads, their face, their ears. I mean, I see it all the time. I see it every. I even written a book. A fictional book on it that I incorporated into called The Deep Freeze, which is obviously cold. It's a deep freeze. It's a Derek Sweat novel. But in there, and I have a few essays on the topic, how young ladies and sometimes young men and old ladies walking down the street is 20 below zero, nothing whatsoever on their heads. And they're acting as if they're not cold. They're acting as if they're not freezing, if they're, you know, and you know they're cold. Young ladies walking around in them leggings, freezing their asses off, looking as if they're not freezing their asses off. Well, you know that they're freezing their asses off. They think you're looking at their body. But, you know, when you look at them, you look at them and say, wow, how stupid can you get? You're going to freeze your ass off. Yeah, you look good, but still and all, cover up if you don't want to get sick or go to work and give somebody your sickness because you refused to cover up and put clothes on you because you thought you were so cute and you had something to show. You know, so if, once again, I'm going to say bundle up everybody. You know, I've seen women in their 70s and 80s come outside in the harsh weather with hardly nothing on. And then they're looking at you like you're crazy because you all bundled up and when they're the ones that have lost it. Yeah, so bundle up in this weather. This weather is nothing to play with. It really isn't. You get cold, you get the flu. You don't want to not dress and then get the flu and give it to everybody else around you. You know, then they're going to be pissed because you didn't dress and they dressed. You know, so cover up, bundle up from head to toe. I mean, this weather is cruel. You don't want to get frostbitten. You don't want to freeze your butt off. We know what you got. So, you know, just kind of bundle up in this weather, young ladies, men, you know. And if you are listening to this, and I hope you are. As a matter of fact, I know you are. You know, spread the word. Bundle up in this cold weather. Keep yourself safe. Keep yourself healthy. Keep yourself warm. That's the bottom line. Okay, I want to say a little bit on David Bowie, the late David Bowie. Yeah, I mean, I think it took a lot of people by surprise when, especially me, because it happened this morning, okay, from my understanding. Oh, was it yesterday? Okay, it was yesterday, but I didn't get the word about it until this morning that he had passed away. And it seems like all I'm getting or hearing about is famous people passing away. Natalie Cole passed away. B.B. King passed away. James Brown is gone. Rick James, you name him. Gerald LaVert. Bobby Blue Bland. All of these people are gone. Otis Clay. You know, and I tell myself all the time that they're in heaven and the music is groovy. David Bowie is going to be in plenty of company. I remember when I first took notice of David Bowie, I was very, very, very young. And he was breaking out as this Ziggy Stardust character. And he was all on television. And his songs are all on the radio, even on pop radio, and even on, at the time, rhythm and blues radio, especially Fame and what was it? Let's Dance. He was on Soul Train. So David Bowie was, and he loved the blues. The guy, he loved the blues. I think some of his favorite blues men were Muddy Waters, B.B. King. He loved the blues. You know, so did him and Mick Jagger, you know. So I first noticed, really actually noticed and seen him because of his hit records, because they were all over the place. They were all over the place. And then I would see him as Ziggy Marlowe or whatever that character he has that he totally gave up. He was all on television on his records, albums and everything. And he was just a talent. The guy was totally creative. He did everything himself. He wrote his own songs. He created this persona about himself. And the thing that got me is that he wasn't gay. I thought he was gay. I mean, I thought the guy was out of the box on gayness. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. And he wasn't until the day he died. If anybody's seen that Lazarus video that he made from reports saying that he made it 2 days before he died, that Lazarus video where he says, I'm in heaven. People are saying that he was actually speaking about his death. People were saying that actually he dedicated that last video and that last album to his fans and that he knew that he was going to die. He knew this was the end. So he decided to do something for us, his fans. I think that's beautiful. I think that's great. I'm going to pick up the album. Standing, the album is number one on the Billboard charts, is number one in iTunes, is number one all over the place. It's sad when you have to die before, you know, things like that happen for you, you know. So he was a great guy. He was wonderful. I was listening to some of his music earlier, you know, because of his death, you know. And One of his favorite songs that I liked in my youth was Fame. I thought Fame was it. I mean, he wrote it with John Lennon, the late John Lennon of the Beatles. And I thought Fame was just awesome. I thought it was God on that song. I mean, we danced our asses off to Fame. It was one groovy, groovy song. And when I say groovy, I don't mean groovy in a punkish or nerdy sort of way. I mean, it sounds great. I've written three books with the word groove in it. I've written three books with the word groove incorporated into the titles. So maybe that's why I'm saying groovy all the time. But, you know, it's not something I say all the time. So don't hit me over the head with it. Okay. All right. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I want to say rest in peace, David Bowie, Natalie Cole. I mean, wow. Otis Clay. I mean, we are losing people by the droves around here. You know, so I always tell people, hey, nobody is going to get out of this alive. We are going to die. So be the best person that you can be. Help others who are in need. Because we're all going to die. We can live life to the best of our abilities, but let's face it, that day is coming. So live your life to the best, have all the fun you can, do what you can, stay healthy, you know, exercise, all that good stuff. Even that is no guarantee you're going to live a long time. So, you know, just live your life the best way you can. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here. I'm all over the place. Follow me on Google. All right, my guest today is Wendy Newman. She hasn't made it here yet, but let's hope she does. She's the author of Dating, Sex, Relationships. She's an expert in dating, sex, if I can read this correctly, dating, sex, relationships. Wendy Newman. She provides practical wisdom and bring understanding and clarity to the topics of sex, dating, men, and relationships. Boy, do I need some relationship ideas. You know, maybe she can give me some. Maybe she can give you some once she shows up. All right. Let's wait for that. Wendy Newman on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay. Let's take a little break right here. I will be right back. Stay with me, people. Stay with me on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Happy 2016. All right.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back. Thank you for sticking around. I hope you stick around for Wendy Newman. She is scheduled to show up. So, you know, things happen. Okay. All right. In Illinois, as you know, if you've been listening to this show, if you've been listening to me, and you've been reading what I've been writing and posting, you know that Illinois is still without a budget. We're going into the seventh month without a budget. They were saying last year that there would be a budget by sometime in this month, January. There are still no talks on it. They were saying this. I was sure, a lot of us were sure there was going to be a budget in January, but now they're saying we may not get a budget in January. And, you know, this is just ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Illinois has never been in, I've said this several times, Illinois has never been in this type of bull crap of a shape because of this governor that we have, Bruce Rauner. We are 7 months into without a budget in the state. And without a budget, it means you can't spend money. But the only reason why money is being spent in this state, at least some money is, because of court orders. The judge made the state controller of Illinois pay their debts. That's a damn shame when you got to make people pay their debts. They know they owe money. They got to pay. You got to make them pay it. And then sometimes they don't pay it then. And Illinois is not paying its debts. Totally not paying its debts. They don't have a budget. How can they pay their debts? These assholes or ass cracks, whatever you want to call them, in government in Illinois should have their – I mean, people are focusing on throwing Rahm Emanuel out of the mayor's chair in Chicago. That's fine and dandy with me. But they also have to – we also have to focus on throwing out these politicians, these Illinois politicians, throw their asses out – because they refuse to dig this state out of the hole that they put this state in. Bruce Rauner put this state in a hole. Some of the Democrats in the General Assembly put this state in this hole. You and I and the people of Illinois and Chicago, we didn't do this to this state. Politicians did this, are doing this. Focus on getting Rahm's ass out, but also focus on recalling Bruce Rauner. Calling Bruce Rauner. Now, I'm doing my part. I'm on the radio. I'm getting the word out. But you got to do your part, too. There's a lot of go on, moveon.org, and sign a petition recalling this governor. Because he has no problem signing something to recall Rahm Emanuel. He said he signed it in a minute. Mr. Bruce Rauner, we will sign anything in a minute also to get rid of your ass because you are not doing your job in the state of Illinois. This is ridiculous. Something has to be done. I'm surprised Obama isn't saying something about the budget stalemate impasse in Chicago. Sometimes I think if Obama would open his mouth and say things showing that he's against a lot of stuff that's going on, a lot of ridiculous garbage that is going on in this state, I think things could get better. Obama likes to stay too neutral. I mean, you're the president of the United States. You cannot stay neutral. You got to get your hands dirty in this mess. You're the president. Wow. But anyway, getting back to this no state budget in Illinois. I've lived in Illinois practically all my life, and I've never, ever seen it this bad. Real bad. People are suffering. Programs are suffering. Defunding this, defunding that. People are homeless. People don't have – oh, hey, they say the job report is at 5%. You can't hardly tell it in Illinois because – places are closing up. People are leaving the state. People are leaving the city. Jobs, budget, crime, you name it. Corruption. people are packing up and getting the hell out. Can you blame them? There is an Illinois, as I speak right now, today, there is an Illinois teachers shortage in Illinois. Teachers are leaving Illinois. Teachers are packing up and leaving Illinois for opportunities elsewhere. They don't want to work in Illinois. I don't blame them. They are giving up their positions, their teaching positions in Illinois. Hey, they may be laid off. Why not? A lot of teachers feel they're going to be laid off in a few months or a few weeks from now, and they're getting ahead on it by leaving and quitting their jobs and going somewhere where something is stable, where there's a budget, Mr. Bruce Rauner, where there is a budget. They're leaving Illinois. I mean, some schools are complaining that they don't have teachers. They don't have schools. Some of these teachers, they are just tired of the BS in Illinois, and I don't blame them. Bruce Rauner and the Democratic legislature in Chicago is screwing up this state. This state is going to become a ghost town. And if it does become a ghost town, the Democrats and Bruce Rauner are going to be blaming each other while the people suffer and the workers walk off their jobs and leave the state, go somewhere else, find better opportunities. They're going to be blaming each other. And we're going to blame them both. This is ridiculous. You hire politicians to represent you. You hire politicians to make your life better. You hire them when you vote for them. The only lives you're making better is their own, or their own. That's the only lives you're making better, their own lives, not yours, not mine. This is why I said we have to stop focusing, not actually stop focusing on Rahm Emanuel, but start focusing on Bruce Rauner and his non-leadership and his stubbornness. This is his first year in office as governor. He shouldn't have a second. I know there was a petition going around a few months ago recalling Bruce Rauner of Illinois, but I don't know, you know, what happened to it. You know, I signed it, of course, but I don't know what happened to it. I haven't heard anything since. But we gotta actually focus on these politicians. We have to let them know that we, the people, we are not helpless. We are strong when we are united. We are strong when we are united, and we're not going to take this anymore. We are not helpless. We can throw their asses out. Just like we vote them in, we can throw their asses out. But one thing, Bruce Rauner was not, there was no mandate or no landslide for this guy. The only reason why Bruce Rauner is in office today, two reasons, and I've stated this before, two reasons to why Bruce Rauner is in office. One, he bought the office. He spent a lot of money, and that's what he's planning on doing in the future, is buying up Democratic seats and have Republicans replace those Democrats. He bought the office, totally bought it, and he's not ashamed to almost admit that he bought the office. Secondly, the reason why Bruce Rauner is in the governor's office in Illinois, people did not bring their asses out and vote. That was detrimental, more so than him buying the office, because, you know, I mean, if people got out there and vote, his money probably wouldn't have meant a damn thing. People did not get the hell out and vote. It's crucial. I mean, every Democrat, every liberal around the United States are saying the same thing. To why a lot of these Republican governors right now, as I speak, are in offices around these states, around the southern states of America. Because, especially when some of these states, or most of these states, these southern states, the population overwhelmingly are African Americans, black people. If a lot of these black people would have gotten their butts out there and voted, this wouldn't be happening to them, especially in the South. In the South, it's a mess. It's a mess. Voter suppression all over the place. And it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. Voter suppression is going to happen again. They're going to find the Republicans are going to find ways for you not to vote. They're going to make it hard for you to vote, harder for you to vote, just like they did in 2012 with Obama. But Obama somehow won. Even Obama thought he had lost. He thought he had lost, but he was surprised when he won, when he was leading. Let's hope we can surprise the Republicans again. Let's surprise them again in 2016, November 2016, because somehow these guys think they gonna win. And let's face it, a lot of the Republicans hate Donald Trump. They don't want Donald Trump. They really don't. But they're gonna have to take him, because Donald Trump has broken out. He's broken out of the pack. He is it. Will he be president of the United States? No. Will Ted Cruz be president of the United States? No. Ted Cruz is not even eligible in Canada. There's no way he can be president. The guy's probably just wasting his time. Even he knows he probably can't be president, because he doesn't even talk about it no more on the campaign trail. He doesn't even bring it up. He boo-hoos it. But he doesn't say that he's eligible, because he knows that he's not. He's not eligible to be president of the United States. So, people, you got to get out there and vote. Make your voice heard. Make yourself known. Make yourself seen. We are not helpless. These guys don't do right. Oh, boy. These guys do not do right by us. We have the power to throw them out. Period. Like I've said before, the only reason why Bruce Rauner is in office, two reasons. He bought the office of governorship in Illinois. And especially the second reason, should be the first reason, is that people did not vote. You didn't carry your ass out there to the polls. And now you're whining because your program has been cut, or your program has been defunded, or you've lost your job. I read something somewhere that says, if you don't vote, you don't count. If you don't vote, you have no reason to be complaining. So if you want to complain, vote, especially this upcoming 2016 election. A lot of things are on the line here, and it's going to take you. All right, you're speaking with George Wilder Jr. of George, live on Block Talk Radio. I'm going to be right back. I'm going to take a break. Stay with me, everybody. Stay with me.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. We are back. We are super, super back. All righty. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Welcome aboard, Wendy.
Hi there. Thank you for having me, George.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being a part of it. I am so interested in it. This is, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you don't know, this is author, dating, sex, relationship expert, Wendy Newman on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Welcome, welcome once again. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And Wendy will tell us who is right for us and who is wrong in terms of relationship, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay. All right. You provide practical wisdom, bringing understanding and clarity to topics of sex, dating, men, and relationships. You're here to help people find their own happily ever after mate with who? Who loves you and just you are, something like that. Go ahead, Wendy. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, one of the most important things is to find somebody who loves you for just who you are. It's exactly who you are right now, not who you're going to be someday. So thank you so much for having me. And, you know, it must be a really weird thing to someone just hearing me for the first time to know that there's this lady who went on 121 first dates, but then is also a relationship expert. That's kind of weird, right? But it all
when I first saw 121 first dates, I told myself, is that all?
Wow.
Is that all? Oh, okay. So how did you get into this?
Yeah, thanks for asking. My dating process started after a long-term marriage ended. So date number one was my date number one after a divorce. And I didn't mean to count. I never meant to be an expert. The first thing that I did as a newly single person was I went out and I did a two-day workshop on how to understand men better because I didn't want to blow it with the next one.
Yeah.
Right? I'd already blown this marriage, so I didn't want to blow it again.
Oh, okay.
And I learned so much in just 2 days that I started working with this company and researching men researching men and understanding the differences in gender studies between men and women and what really brings out the best in us and what brings out the worst in us. And so I accidentally, in trying to get a new fresh start, stumbled upon a company that I started working with and for that I do contract work with, where I ended up becoming a man expert while I was newly single. So I thought it would take, I don't know, like 4 or 5 dates until I met my partner. And no, it took 121 to actually get to my partner, who I've been with for 3 years now. But yeah, that's how it all got started. And
congratulations.
Thank you. So yeah, I never meant to write a book. I never meant to be an expert. It wasn't a dare or anything like that. It just took that long.
Wow. Sounds good. Sounds great. But you are an expert because I'm looking at it right here on your website.
That's right. If I say it, it's got to be true, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's say if I was a single guy and I wanted to find a good woman, how would I go by doing that?
Well, you're in Chicago. You probably know.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you just show up? I mean, you're famous. You've got a show. I mean, you have groupies. Now, for the poor guy,
I'm just saying, like,
don't have
general,
their own
maybe
show.
Just in general. Okay. So, no. You're the expert. You're the relationships expert. So I was just, wondering because, you know, a lot of times I've been in bad relationships. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have. And you're trying to share your experience to try to make sure that other people who are in relationships, bad relationships, get out of those relationships and to start a new positive one with a much better mate.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, if I can't imagine
something to that effect.
Not in a happy relationship, yeah, that's workable, you know. But I'm going to give a shout out to
something
that most people just don't like it. A lot of people resist it. And it's time, y'all. Stop resisting the internet dating.
Yeah.
Because really, it's the number one place that people go to meet people for dating. When you're at the grocery store, we're there to shop. We're not, I mean, we might be there to be checking somebody out, but mostly we're there to get our groceries and go home. When we're at Target, same sort of thing. We're getting our business done. And if someone's talking to me when I'm out in the world, if someone's trying to impede my way as I'm walking down the street because they want to get to know me, that's just rude. So how are you going to meet people these days unless you're sitting on a bar stool? It doesn't come easy anymore, especially if you were like me and well over 30. So it just, you know, at 22, it was great. You just went out to the bar and you went to parties and went with your friends and there were a ton of people around and that all worked out. But as you get a little older, it doesn't work so well that way. So I really, really love online dating just because it will give you access to people you don't have access to in your everyday world.
Okay, so, you know, I kind of want to say the same thing almost, that finding someone, finding your soulmate is not as easy as it was, you know, a few years ago, like you say.
Yeah.
Because there's so much going on now. You know, you have to be careful who you talk to, who you meet, where you meet them, how you meet them. You never know. So...
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't buy into all that, you know. The careful part, because they're people, you know. The same people you would meet online are the same people you'd meet at your friend John's house if he threw a party. So they're just people. So I always did the thing where I would meet them in the daylight, or you know, I wouldn't meet them, you know, in a darkened alley or anything. So I mean, that was safe enough, meet them in a public place, but I didn't
worry. I mean, that's
too much
common
about that
sense.
I used common sense, but there was a couple of times I didn't use common sense, but I caught it in time. just use the common sense.
Yeah.
and
that's how we learn
there.
If we don't use common sense, we learn to use it next time.
There was a short period of my life where I was living in a little hamlet of a town near San Francisco across the Golden Gate Bridge called Mill Valley. And in Mill Valley, there's Mount Tamalpais, and that's the only thing in this town is this big mountain. And everybody who lives there, we all hike. And so it's very, and I'm a big woman, and I'm still out there hiking, right? So it's what we do in that town. And that's all you do. You drink coffee and go to a restaurant and go hiking. That's it. And so when someone asked me on a date to go hiking, I said, oh, sure, because that's what we do. But once I met him at the little coffee station, I had kind of a bad vibe. So I took a breath and said, you know, I think these shoes aren't great for hiking. I think they're falling apart. So I think we should just do a little urban hike around the neighborhood. So I flipped it instead, just on the fly, and that worked out. But whoops. Live and learn, yeah.
Wendy, how could you tell? I mean, a lot of us don't want to jump into a relationship right quickly because we want to at least check the person out. So how can you tell, providing your practical wisdom, if this person who is not showing it, you don't see it, how can you tell if a person, a guy or woman, is abusive?
Well, you can look for signs, but the real answer is you can't. So if I read a profile, and this is a real thing, this would happen. So I would read a profile, and a man's profile might say something like, I can't tolerate drama and craziness and a whole laundry list of characteristics that women have been to him in his past. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a red flag to me. I'm not drama-oriented, and I don't call that in. I don't bring that into my relationships. But because he's announcing that, I'm assuming that he has a part in that. So I don't want any part of him. So that's really my only red flag out the gate, sort of trying to see in advance. But the truth is, we won't know anyone's intentions or their behavior until we're with them and we see, you know, with them on a date or with them during the dating process or with them in a relationship, how we get to know someone is by making sure their words and actions are in line, right? Their actions meet their words. And that only happens when you know someone over time. And okay. I'm very, very clear about what I will tolerate. I don't even have people yell at me in my world. No one yells at me in my world. So I have a very short ability to tolerate that. And if someone was like that with me, I would set a boundary very quickly. And if they did it again, they'd be gone.
Okay. Okay.
I recommend that for everyone, by the way.
Okay. Wendy Newman, how important is sex in a relationship?
Well, to me, it's everything. I don't know, but I don't know. For some people, it's no big deal at all. Some people don't like it. You know, I think the most important thing about sex is that you meet someone that you're close enough in your drives and your desires and your menu. How big does the menu have to be? That you are close enough, because nobody's going to be dead on perfect, you know? And throughout life, we're going to ebb and flow and want it more or less sometimes, right? It'll flip and flop. But that you're close enough in your level of communication and your willingness to have experimentation and conversation about what you need and what you desire. You've got to be able to do that to really, or you find someone, if you're not able to do that at all, you find someone that also can't do that at all, and you might be a perfect match, right? And meet you where you are.
Right. I've had people on this show who said they were celibate, but they were looking for someone. How would you answer that?
Be upfront about it. And there's a lot of people who sex is not a big deal to them, and men and women alike. It actually was the reason that my marriage ended, that I liked it and he didn't. And
wow, that's a new one for me.
And at the time,
wow,
I was 33.
I always thought it was the woman.
Yeah,
well,
no.
It was him.
And I got to tell you, I've led over 100 workshops to thousands of women, and I lead a two-day sex workshop, and when I first started leading it 10 years ago, I think that the ratio was about 35-65. 65% of the men wanted it more and 35% of the women wanted it more. But years have gone on, I think we're getting closer to 50-50. We're getting closer.
Okay. Yeah, it's evening out.
It is evening out.
Why do you think that is?
As many women complaining that they can't get the sex they need as men.
Wow. Why do you think that?
I don't know. I don't know
people
if it's
just,
because...
People just... the desire is just gone? Or is it the person? Or?
Yeah, I think that it's a couple of things. I think that it's desire levels. And I also think that we're both men and women are morphing in different ways. And we're moving more away from what we've always been in traditional roles. And I think it's changing our drives.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, and things are changing. Sex is not what it used to be, you know. People are going without it, you know.
Well, and it's also how we are together in our relationships. If we're not nurtured. I'm so happy we get to talk about this. Let's talk about sex for a minute. So one of the things that... I'm very excited about this topic. One of the things that I'm so heartbroken over is our culture. We're taught that there's a one, and we meet the one, and it's love at first sight, and we have this hot romantic thing that naturally plays, which is how we know they're the one. And then it's supposed to be amazing. And then somewhere between, I don't know, like 6 months to 2 years, it starts to fade a little bit. It shifts. It turns into that lovely, different thing when you know someone and you have somebody. And we think that it must be over because it didn't maintain the way it did in the beginning. And it was never designed for that. Biology never designed us to have that maintained for 10 years, you know. So we see couples splitting up because the sex is not as good. But it won't be the same with anyone if you do nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know, if a woman tells me that she's celibate, I mean, I may not, you know, call her anymore. I don't know,
yeah.
You know, so yeah. it kind of, you know, you kind of back off a little bit, especially if you are very, very active in it and she isn't or he isn't, you know, and yeah, having good sex in a relationship, I think really, really can keep that relationship going for years. If both people are active in good, having good sex. And, you know.
Yeah.
What do you
think?
Yeah,
and if we're willing, it can solve a lot of problems. I mean, obviously, you got to get to the root of all problems. But if we're taking care of each other in that intimate way, then we get to really feel appreciated and known and loved by each other, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an excerpt of your book you like to read?
Oh, but that I'd like to read? You would like me to read
you?
Yeah,
I mean.
Okay. All right. I'm all happy. Right. I can read. Do you want me to read one of the first dates?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to read to you.
Okay.
It's date number 54, but he was the beginning of why I wrote the book.
Okay.
Now, this date was so bad that I had to write it for my married friends to keep them married. It's called...
Oh, wow.
It's
That's
called
great.
I know, right? It's called Keeping Up with Mr. Johnson.
Did it work?
Yes, it did.
Oh, okay.
And the location was just going to be drinks in my little town in Mill Valley back in the day. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Ready? I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry. It starts with him talking. I'm sorry, we're going to have to take it slow because I'm injured, my date said to me as he hobbled towards me, all hunched over and moving at a painstakingly snail-like speed. He had inadvertently aged himself. His online profile read that he was 48 years old, which I can say with confidence was untrue, and at a glance, I'd guessed him closer to 78. That's right, 43, he was about 78.
Well, as long as he had a strong sex drive.
Oh, here we go. There's more. He beamed at me confidently. And I go on to talk about what he was wearing. He looked kind of homeless. And he wasn't quite with it. And then at the end, so I'll just skip ahead for a minute here. We had this date. I went inside and we sat down. We were going to have drinks. And he said, you should get some food. You should order food. I said, oh, no, we said drinks, right? Because I wanted to end the date. Oh, no, grab some food, he said. So I grabbed some food, and he didn't really talk much, and I had to do all the work, and it was really annoying. And finally, at the end of the date, he says to me, hey, so can I tell you how I injured myself? And I didn't know it injured himself. I just thought he used a cane. And I said, sure. And he said, are you sure, you sure? And I said, sure, I'm sure. But at that point, I wasn't sure. And he said, I was on a motorcycle accident last week where I had an impact to my groin area. And these are his words now. And the blood rushed to my Johnson. So I've had this erection since Friday. The hospital says they want to operate, but I'm not going to let him operate for a month. I want to see if it goes down on its own. But the reason I'm telling you this is because I would be really fun in the sack right now. You should come with me because it's not going to go down. It'll be like I'm on Viagra.
Okay.
No, I declined.
So this is
so
a 50,
at the end of this
date.
So I didn't read the whole thing. I was paraphrasing. But at the end of the date, I give the people, the readers. A hot tip. There's usually a hot tip after each date. So my hot tips for this date is, if your date is centering their conversation on their Johnson, you can excuse themselves. You can excuse yourself permanently unless you want to have sex. Case you should listen and learn. And then the next hot tip is if you've injured yourself or have any ailments or rashes or breakouts or swollen anything, you might want to take off the week from dating. If you're not hungry, don't order. And if you're not into him, don't stay. So I have 28 short stories with hot tips all the way through.
Wow.
My book, 121 First Dates.
Yeah, I see that you're on a book tour.
I am. My book literally hits the shelves tomorrow. Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's
tell everybody about it, because this show will be recorded, it'll be downloaded, and it will be archived.
Oh, great. Yeah, so my book, 121 First Dates, hits the shelves, so it's available anywhere on Amazon and all those places you buy your books. And I'm going on a 20-city tour to everywhere, and I'm starting it in San Francisco, and off and running.
Lots of luck. I mean, I wish you all the, luck in the world with this. It sounds like fun.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, okay. What do you mean dating by design? Can you tell people what that means?
Oh, yeah, sure. I have an 8-week dating course that I teach. It's a telecourse, so you can be anywhere to do it. It's for women, and it's 8 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I start them up every couple of months, and you can find them on my site, wendyspeaks.com. But Dating by Design is really put together to help women keep going out there, keep standing and walking out the front door and doing it all over again when really Law and Order reruns sound like a better bet, right? Just watching the Real Housewives from anywhere sounds better than going on a date. But there were things that I learned for 10 years of dating. There were things that I learned all the way, even up to the very end, that if I had known them earlier, I just would have been so much more efficient, and I would have been able to use my good skills of dating and have heart and connection with people, but just not waste so much of my time. Like with that date that I just talked about, I didn't have to stay for that. I could have been very, very, very kind and gentle and said, hey, you know what? I can already tell we're not quite a match, so I don't want to waste your Saturday afternoon.
Wendy, you also have an advice column? Wow. Tell us about that a little.
Oh, it's on wendyspeaks.com, and I take questions and just whip out those answers. Happy to do it. If you've got a dating question, send them my way.
All right. Wendy Newman on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Make sure you archive it. Listen live to this show. I mean, this is great. I like this. This is wonderful. And tell everybody your website. Where can we find you? Where can they
find you?
You
can find me at wendyspeaks.com, and that's WendySpeaks.com. And on my website, you'll find the tour schedule. You'll find the Dating by Design class. You'll find my book. I got a lot of free stuff. I got everything for you.
People love stuff free, believe me.
I know, right?
Because I was giving away one of my books. I mean, 1,000 people must have downloaded it because it was free. If I'd have put a price on it.
You could have charged $2.99, and it would have been crickets, right?
Hey, Wendy, thanks for being on the show.
You bet. Thank you. They can get a free chapter of the book
Wendy,
on my site. Yep.
All right, Wendy, I'm going to, after the show is over, and it's recorded and downloaded, I want to send you the link to the show so you can put this show on your website so you can have your fans listen to it.
Absolutely.
No problem?
No problem.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Wendy Newman, relationships expert Wendy Newman on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I will be right back. Thank you, everybody, for hanging in there.
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right. I would like to thank my very, very interesting and funny guest, Wendy Newman. She was just here on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I want to thank her for coming by. All right, let's move right along. It is still cold. It is still cold in Chicago. And it is nippy dippy. I always say it's nippy dippy. That's my couple of phrases for cold weather in the city. I can say anything. It's cold as hell out there. And hey, Denver, the weather out there. Snowing and raining? Yeah, snowing and raining, you say. And frigid. Oh, okay, you're using all those adjectives. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank my guest once again, Wendy Newman. And like I was saying before, Wendy, teachers, there's a teacher shortage in Illinois. There is a teacher shortage. Why is there a teacher shortage? Because teachers are leaving the state. Why are they leaving the state? Because the city government, the city government, and Bruce Rauner is screwing them over. They're screwing them over. The teachers are talking about striking, and they're going to strike because Rauner said a few days ago he wasn't giving Chicago schools nothing. I mean, he was nasty about it. Now, I ain't giving them nothing. You're not giving me anything. I'm not going to give you anything. And they want to bust unions. That's all it is. He wants to bust unions, and now he's got a little help. Rauner has a little help now in busting unions. He has the Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court of the United States is going to help Rauner bust unions. I mean, the Supreme Court. You know, I posted this on Facebook. A lot of people didn't like it. Some did like it. You know, that's to be expected. But I have really nothing against unions. Don't really have anything too much against any union. But my gripe with a union or with a company that incorporates a union is that, and this has happened to me a few times in my life during my life. I don't deal with it now, but during my life back then, back in the day when we had to get a job to survive, I mean, every job that I went, that I applied for, most of the time I've gotten, it was positive, a response. I've gotten the job. So the first thing I do when I get the job, I do the interview, about three or four times the interviews and all of that. They give you a job application. You fill it out. You know, this was before you had to do everything online, all right? This was a little bit before everything had to be done online. In some places, you can still find some jobs where you can walk right into the place and just sit down and fill out an employment application. But that's far in between. However, you know, small places, you can do that, you know, the places that do not have a web presence or something like that. But you can still walk into places and sit down. You got to find them. You got to look for them. They're far in between, like I said. But there are still places that you can actually go and sit down and fill out an application. So a few years ago, I've gotten these jobs, some of these jobs, and I will walk in these places, fill out an application. Next thing I know, they call me for an interview. I do the interview. All of a sudden, they say, you pass the interview. They give me the application for your and I give them my resume. They give me the application, fill out the application, and I would look on the application, and it would say union. And then one of the supervisors will give me a union card and tell me to sign the union card. My point here is, is that I don't like to be demanded. It was like they were demanding, or I had to do this or lose the job. I had to join a union or lose the job, whether I wanted to join a union or not. My point is, I don't want to be, you know, made to join a union. I don't want to be made. I don't care how much good they do. At least leave me the option to know that I have the dignity to say no if I want to say no. And majority of the time, I probably will not say no. I probably will concur. But I don't like the fact that I'm being made to do it or forced to do it, or I better do it or I will not get the job. I didn't know that union and management were so together in some of these companies. So my point here is that I know people will disagree with me. Unions are good. Without a union, you're gonna lose your reason. You're gonna lose all your protections. You know that could happen. Without unions, the employer will be able to fire you at will. Without unions, your wages will go down. I understand all of that and a lot more, but it's the mere fact. The mere fact that I was forced into a union, I don't have any say whether I want to be in that union or not. That's what I don't like. And years ago, I mean, if you get a job, if anybody's looking for a job, you want all your money. You don't want nobody taking money out of your check, at least not right away. At least you can think about it a little while before you decide to join a union. But they want you in. Well, they give all kind of excuses to why you should join a union, right? Well, you're going to benefit whether you're in it or not. I'm not to benefit from any union when I'm just getting a job. All I want to do is get the job, make some money, and then decide down the line whether I want to be in a union. I don't need somebody, you know, demanding me or telling me, or I better do this or you got to do this without my input, just putting stuff on me. You know, I want something to say. I don't want to join a union without my authorization, without me saying, yeah, I want to join it. No, you sit down, you fill out the application, you're in a union. Bang. That's not the way I like it. But that has happened to me many times. And I really had no say about that at the beginning of that, at that time, because I wanted the job. I felt that if I didn't join the union, that I would not get the job. And that's not fair. I know unions have done great things. I know unions will continue to do great things. I'm not out to bust unions. The Republicans are. All I'm saying is that I don't want to join a union. I should have the option of joining a union and not joining a union. I don't think a union should be thrust on me, demanded of me, or threatened to join a union. I mean, I've been in unions, three or four, five unions, and all I ever done was go to union meetings and eat a pizza while somebody up there is giving a speech. I'm not saying they're not good for people. I'm not saying they're not relevant. I'm not saying that they haven't been good over the years, because if it wasn't for unions, we wouldn't have the 40-hour work week. We wouldn't have the weekends off. We wouldn't have time and a half or raises or stuff like that. I know all of that and good working conditions. I know that. What I'm saying is, don't make me join a union even that I may not want to join. Do not put that on me. Ask me if you want to ask me, come to me in a respectful way and say, Mr. Wilder, would you like to join a union? Then I'll probably say, well, give me some information on it, and I'll make a decision in a couple of weeks. That's a good way of doing it. Don't just say, hey, you're in a union, that's it, bam. But anyway, a lot of people are afraid today and tomorrow and the coming days and weeks that the Supreme Court is going to bust unions wide open. And from what I understand, it's a given that unions will be weakened. It is a given from what I understand, from all the reports, from what I'm hearing, unions will be weakened. And let me say this, if unions are weakened, that's bad for the employees. Because just like I got through mentioned, if unions are weakened, the employer can fire you at will. The employer can make his company a right-to-work company. You will have lost all your workplace protections. You know, no work, no job, don't come in Monday, don't come in Sunday. You're fired. So this is taking place right now as I speak in the Supreme Court. From my understanding, they had known about this situation and wanted to do something about it some time ago, but now they have a chance to actually do something about unions. And we're sitting here saying that Bruce Rauner is not going to bust unions. But the Supreme Court is a law of the land. I mean, if they say unions got to go, then unions got to go. And it's going to be really, really bad for workers. I mean, workers are going to get the shaft on this one. Once this goes through, if it goes through. Like I said before, I've got nothing against unions. Peeve I have against unions is is getting me to join a union when I didn't want to join a union. That's about it. I'm not talking about other people, what they think or how they feel about unions. It's just how George Wilder Jr. feels about unions that I was part of in the past. Not today, in the past. Today I don't have to worry about unions because basically I work for myself and try to do things for myself. So I don't have to worry about nobody's union. And I probably will never be in another union for the rest of my life, which is good. But that's good for me. It could be bad for you, but that's just the way I am. I can't speak for other people. And other people cannot speak for me. Okay, but it doesn't look good for unions in this country. It really, at this point, it doesn't look good for unions. All right. El Chapo. Chapo, the drug dealer. Sean Penn. I'm a Sean Penn fan now. I mean, he's the actor that helped to capture drug kingpin El Chapo, the guy who broke out of the Mexican jail. Wow. This was a black eye on the Mexican government, really. But they caught him again and through with the help of Sean Penn. That's great. That's wonderful. Wow. That's one way of saying, hey, Star Wars, up yours. Great. It's a lot of more detail on that. So if you want to grab some more detail on that, go to HuffingtonPost.com. Find a lot more on that Sean Penn and El Chapo capture. Totally Sean Penn and some other actor. Okay. We talked about unions being destroyed. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we also talked about death. We talked about David Bowie, the extraordinary talented David Bowie. And I'm not just saying that. I'm African American, and he was British. I'm not saying that. I think he was a multi-talented guy. I mean, I've known about David Bowie, listened to his music since I was knee-high to a crawl. David Bowie, of course, Ziggy Stardust. I remember all of that stuff used to be on TV. I used to see it on his albums because I was a music fanatic when I was very, very young. And it's sad that he's gone. And just before I came onto the show today, I was listening to some of his songs, some of his old stuff, new stuff. recordings that he made and videos that he made just before he died. His message to his fans that he was dying. He left us something. And I've got to pick up that album. I mean, his new album, Lazarus. I believe that's the name of the album, or is that the name of the song, or both? But anyway, David Bowie is gone. Otis Clay is gone. Natalie Cole is gone. They've got to be in heaven and have a hell of a band. You know, I mean, that's the way I see it. It's got to be a hell of a band in heaven. I mean, this is something. But people are dying all over the place. But you hear about celebrities dying all the time, almost every day. You hear about celebrities. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are dying every day and all the time. We don't even know who they are. But once a celebrity dies, it's all over the news, the media, television, video goes viral. But let Adam Dillard die. It's nowhere. You don't hear about him because he's nobody. You know, he's nobody. But people die all the time. Every minute, every hour, every second, every half of a second, every third of a second, every fourth of a second, somebody is dead. But unless you are a famous celebrity, you will not get the media attention. I mean, when I'm gone, nobody's going to talk about me. Oh, George Wilder Jr.? Oh, who was he? Who was that? He wrote a book. What book? Anyway, it's sad with the David Bowie. He was talented. You know, it's sad when talented people go away. It's sad when people who have given so much to the world and they're gone. David Bowie did not want to die. Natalie Cole did not want to die. James Brown did not want to die. Luther Vandross, none of these people wanted to die. Rick James did not want to die. And the thing about it, most of these people, if not all these people, had a show to do the next day or the next hour, and they just passed away and they couldn't do the show. It's a shame. It's a shame. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Having a great time here, people. Having a great time. Wendy Newman was on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Make sure you broadcast this show. Make sure you podcast this show. Download this show. Record it and listen to the great Wendy Newman. She was beautiful. She was wonderful. She's talking about relationships on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Thank you.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, we're back. Thanks for that. We're back, and I'm having a great time. It's still cold outside. I'm in my studio, and it is still cold outside. I hope it's warm for you. Brr, it is cold. All right. You might be listening to this show, archiving this show, listening to the show sometime during the summer months. And you say, damn, it was cold back then. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. Congress is failing our young children on gun control. That's no news. That's nothing. We know they're failing on gun control. You got Republicans. You got Republicans controlling Congress. There's nothing going to be done on gun control. And whatever Obama can do is probably going to be really, really small and not much. You know, It's going to be small and not much, but at least he's trying to do something. I think he's already has implemented his executive authority on gun control. This is something. It's something. And some, and a lot of that is enough for some people who have lost their loved ones through gun violence. Gun violence. So gun control is one of the things that the, hopefully the Democrats can get fixed, because the Republicans aren't going to do it. They ain't going to do it. I mean, they're going to come up with all kinds of crap to say that the reason why they're not going to do anything on gun control. This is the worst Republican Congress I've ever seen. It is. It is the worst Republican Congress. Even Ronald Reagan wouldn't know these people, wouldn't know these bozos. You know, this is one of the worst Congress of men that I've seen yet. They don't give a damn about the people of the United States. They truly do not. And every time I see Trump and hear Trump talk and hear him speak, he's always, Trump is always attacking someone. He's attacking Ted Cruz. He's attacking Hillary Clinton. He's attacking Bernie Sanders. He attacks whenever he gives his rallies or his speeches. He starts attacking and talking about other people. He's attacking Bill Clinton. That's all he does, is attack people. This guy is running for the presidency of the United States. What is that? What is about that that this nut doesn't understand? You running for the president of the United States. Why don't you talk about what you're going to do for America? Gun control, health care, the economy, infrastructure. Talk about policy. He is constantly attacking other people because he wants to stay ahead in the polls. Now, don't get me wrong. Donald J. Trump can wind up being the president of the United States if we don't do something. Donald J. Trump. And we know this man is not qualified. He talks at a fourth grade level, some say. I say he talks at a third grade level. People, you have to vote. You don't want Donald Trump, and a lot of people that I've contacted and is in touch with say the same thing. We don't want Donald Trump. Well, then you better get your butt out there and vote, because if you don't vote, Donald Trump will be the next president. The Republicans don't even like him, especially the Republicans in Congress. Jeb Bush can't stand him. I don't think Ted Cruz like him. He's always attacking someone. When he's attacking Ted Cruz, I can kind of understand it, because Ted Cruz is not eligible to be president of the United States. He is not. He wasn't born in America. You have to be full a natural-born citizen to be president of the United States. That is in the Constitution of the United States. He is not that. He was born in Canada. Some people saying, well, his mother is a United States citizen. That don't make him one. Well, he was born in Canada. This guy from Canada coming over here in America reaping all that hell on Obama, and he has not even been born here. He wasn't even born here, but he wreaking so much hell on our president. Wow. But let me say this again: Donald Trump could be president. People, you got to get out there and do your duty. You didn't do it in 2014. November 2014, you didn't vote, you stayed home. Oh, I don't want to vote in the midterms, they're not important. They are important. Sometimes they're more important than the presidency, voting in the presidency. We're going to have the primary caucus or something coming up. We have to get out there and do our duties. Yeah, plural. We have to vote. We have to vote, and we got to get others around us to vote. We got to get off our duffs, take the cigarette out of your mouth, and get out there and vote. Do your duty. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I think it's about 0 degrees outside, 7:22, straight up p.m. Chicago time. We got a few more minutes onto the show. So we don't have a smart quiz question today, but I'm pretty sure we're going to have one tomorrow. And our guest tomorrow will be Maggie Cass. She's a beautiful lady, believe me. Maggie Cass. All right, let's see what we can do. Open. Okay. Here we go. Always enjoy that. This was my son and a lot of kids' first day back to school after 3 weeks of winter vacation, Christmas and winter vacation, 3 weeks. This is his first day back, and he brought home some information. It says here, dear students and dear parents, I hope you had a great winter break and welcome back. I'm reaching out to you to update and remind you all policies that will be closely monitored during the upcoming semester as well as going forward. Students, uniform, and uniform infractions. Students are required to attend school in full uniform. Students who attend school out of uniform will not be allowed to attend classes until the missing articles of their clothing is provided. If a student's uniform cannot be provided by the parents, they will serve in school suspension. Students will also receive a uniform infraction for every day out of uniform. Three uniform infractions will lead to 2-hour detentions. We are asking your parents' assistance to help rectify the recent struggles with out of uniform. Well, my son is not among that. He has a uniform. He goes, I make sure he's looking great every day and is wearing his uniform, his provided uniform. So they have to be talking about other students, not my son. His uniform is always great, clean, pressed, and looking great. And I think they know that. I'm pretty sure they know that. But for this school to say things like that, uniform, like they're demanding that students wear uniforms and students do this and do that and be dressed and looking like that, I understand that, especially if the school was actually about something. This school is not about anything. I don't think the kids are learning anything at this particular school, and this school will go nameless. They know who they are if someone's listening. And it's just sad. It's just sad. Someone just told me 60 seconds in my ear. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I hope you enjoyed my guest, Wendy Newman. Hopefully she'll be back someday and to tell us the progress that she's making with her sex dating relationship, as she calls herself an ex. All righty. We're going to be signing off. We got about 33 seconds into the show. Let's see if we can come up with something. Okay. Join me tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.